Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Hello again, Real Life. How are we doing? You guys are still here. My name is Christian. Like I said earlier, I get to be one of the pastors here, and I just want to thank and welcome everyone who's watching us online. I'm excited to dig into God's Word, and like I said, we're in the last series of Origins, week 5, and we get to kind of go further as we get to wrap up this series. But I wanted to share a verse for us as we come into the place where we go, God, do a work in us that we can have a reset. And actually, this verse is like a gem I came across. For those of you who read God's Word and like all of a sudden you're like, huh, I didn't catch that before. This is one of those verses for me. But this is in Isaiah 26:3 before we jump into today. It says this. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Man, I've heard a lot of encouragement in the Word to fix our eyes on Jesus. But I love the words here. It says that we're not only to fix our eyes on Jesus, but our thoughts on him. And for us, as we come into this place, I want to ask you, where are your thoughts fixed on today? As we come in here, it's Memorial Day and we have the weekend and plans and different things, right? We have stuff going on around us. And in this season, based upon whatever circumstances are happening, that's usually where we fix our thoughts. Our thoughts kind of formulate around what's going on in our lives. And what I love about this, before we jump into today, is it says that God is our rock, that those who fix their thoughts and their minds on who he is and put their trust in him, regardless of circumstances or things going on or how the world is going, that we can have confidence that he is doing a work all around our lives. And so as we have that invitation today to fix our thoughts on him and what God would have for us in his word, I hope that we will accept that invitation. A little bit of recap for us. If you've missed this series, go back and watch it. We've talked about a lot of things, but we're talking about the original design of God's church that we don't have to add to or take away from, right? And if you've missed these, I'm not going to do a huge recap, so go back and watch it. But we've talked about the original messengers, how God called his original messengers to be. God had some things to say about it, what his design in the original church was. Talked about the original disciples. And today we get to talk about the persecution of the originals. Who ever wakes up and goes, man, I hope I get persecuted today, right? Or man, we might have some suffering today and like get excited about it, right? I don't think many of us do that. But as we talk about the original church and how the church responded to God and the gospel, they devoted their lives to the teachings and the environments that God designed us to be in. And out of that, when you choose to stand on the word of God in the right context and not deviate or add to it, you will face persecution or opposition in our lives. We will face trials or difficulties or go through suffering. And really, the gospel is not about the prosperity gospel. How many of you have heard about the prosperity gospel, right? If you would just name it and claim it, it would happen, right? If you have enough faith that God will show up and do what you want him to do. That is the opposite of what we usually see. Does that mean that there's not hope? Does that mean that we can't ask for God and that he would work in our lives? No, that those realities are true. But Paul talks about that we will face opposition, which for me somewhat gives me a little bit of hope, because I don't know about you, how many of you have faced opposition in your life? How many of you have faced persecution in your life, trials in your life, difficulties in your life? And so when I hear the opposite, that if I just have enough faith, everything will work out, I'm scratching my head going, then why isn't it working out, right? It must be my problem then. It must be me. But the reality of scriptures is it says that we'll face tragedy or difficulty or suffering or persecution at times in our lives. But what did Jesus say to his disciples? That we don't have to lose our heart in the midst of that, because what? Jesus has overcome the world. But if you're following in our notes, the first section there is persecution and suffering. We are in a battle, and there is an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He has already been defeated. Yes, I'll start with that. We have the victory in him, but there are battles still going on. There are still things happening around us. And this is a longer read in 2 Timothy 3:10-17, but don't miss out, because Paul writes to one of his disciples and gives him an encouragement and shares some truth with him when it comes to persecution that the first church was facing. And here's the reality. If you stand on God's word and you don't deviate from it, you'll probably, in fact, Paul says you will face some persecution in your life. But listen to what this says in 2 Timothy 3. It says this, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. Yes, and everyone, listen, who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, what? Will suffer persecution. But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will be deceived, and others themselves will be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know that they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Listen to this in verse 15. It says, "You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." See, there's so many things to unpack here. He says, man, if you are truly walking with Jesus, hear that if you're online or in the room, if you're truly walking with Jesus, you're going to face persecution. It's gonna happen. And when you choose to stand on the rock of the truth and not to deviate, not to add, not to change, not to take away. Did he say to Timothy, hey, you know, you need to add stuff as you go? No, he says, be faithful to what you've been taught. Why? Because you don't have to add to what he's been taught. The word of God is the word of God, amen? And do we see it as the actual words of God? Not changed over time, not, you know, some of it's true, some of it's not. No, it says the word of God is the word of God. And it's used to teach, equip, to correct what is wrong. First off, do we see the word of God in that light? Do we stand on what the word of God says? Do we live our lives according to it? And in that, if we do that, it says we'll face some persecution in our lives. See, as we talk about persecution in its various forms and in different ways, some of that for them was very physical, hunted down, being stoned and hunted persecution, crazy persecution, right? We might not see as much of that in our context right now, but it's happening all over the place. I have a buddy who said I could share this, who works around here, and he was praying for a fellow believer, a coworker, and the manager came up to him and said, "If you ever pray here again, I will fire you." And this is here, this is in Coeur d'Alene. And he said, "Hey, I hear what you're saying, but this is what I believe. There are things that you guys push that I don't agree with. And if it comes down to it, if you need to let me go, you can, because if I see someone that needs prayer, I need to pray for them." I was like, well, that's pretty cool. It's pretty powerful stuff. You see, more and more we may face some of this. In fact, a lot of it's happening all around us. And as we stand on the truth and as we represent what God has proclaimed, the way God has proclaimed it, it's likely we might face some persecution. And in that, I often go, will I have the boldness to say what I need to say? Jesus says he'll give us the words. I don't have to freak out and stress out about that and let the enemy turn that into a tool to go, you don't have that kind of faith, and speak in hypotheticals when I don't know until I'm in that moment. I can rely on Christ to give me the words. I can follow Jesus the way that he has called me to, trust that he's gonna work in and through us. But the reality is will we have that mindset to stand on the word of God and not gravitate to what the culture or even other Christian circles say to twist? We're gonna stand on what the word of God says in the right context of how God has done it, amen? And when we have this reality, it's likely, he says, you will have some persecution in your lives. Sometimes persecution is happening and we don't even know it's happening. It can come even in like the forms of ideologies or thoughts. For example, one of them is, if I don't agree with everyone and everything people say, then I actually hate them. That's hate speech. And I'm not loving them unless I agree with them. And then what's that? That's twisted into is that I'm not being a real Christian, because aren't Christians supposed to just love and accept everything and everyone? That's a form of deceptive persecution in the form of an idea. And then even believers will wrestle with that and receive that, when in reality, is it not loving to get up and tell the truth in love if someone's engaged in something that's harmful? Do I love someone enough to tell them the truth regardless of what people are going to think about me? Am I willing to be in the reality that there is this battle, that persecution is happening, but we're gonna stand on the truth in love in the right context and not deviate from it? Which means what? I have to actually know the word of God. Which means what? If I don't, I can't. Often I can do that in my relationship with God, but what does the Bible say? That we're to get around people who will pass it on and help us learn what the word of God says. Which goes back to last week, if you missed it. God has ordained environments for us to learn what it means to be a disciple and make them. And we can't do that alone. Persecution, within persecution, what also can happen is when I'm being persecuted, I often don't go, I love that person who's persecuting me, right? Man, that just feels so good. I hope you just keep doing that, right? That's not usually our first response. Man, sometimes people are like, man, I don't know why God doesn't, miracles and like, well, you know, one of the craziest miracles in my mind, when Jesus is on the cross and they're hanging him to it, and he looks down at the people and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If you don't believe in miracles, if you don't see that as one, I don't know what will. That's a miracle. How can Jesus look at people who are torturing him and pray for them? You see, in persecution with people we don't agree with, we're called to live honorable lives and not get a heart that wants to go, you know what? I actually want to destroy them because they're evil and they're wicked and I don't agree with them and they're persecuting me and my ideas and my beliefs, and actually I want to see them fall instead of I want to see them forgiven and redeemed and set free by Jesus. If I'm being honest, I was like one of the major persecutors of the church when I didn't know Jesus. I'm really glad in the midst of that season and deception that I was in, that God's people didn't reject me. In fact, they pursued me. They prayed for me. I hated Christians when I was in that season of addiction. I believed lies about who Christians were. But luckily, there was a group of people in the midst of that season who pursued me, who loved me, who prayed for me, who didn't push me aside. You see, it's hard when we are going to face persecution to check our hearts to go, God, will we have a heart that wants to love and restore and pray for our persecutors? Listen to this in 1 Peter 2, says this. It says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Listen to this, verse 17. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You know who the king was when he wrote that? His name was Nero. Nero hunted Christians, put them in lions' dens, and watched Christians get eaten alive. Can you imagine Peter writing that statement? Respect the king? Man, is our hearts that way in the midst of a world that we are navigating? If I'm being honest, not always, right? There's people I don't agree with, people that hurt me, that I don't agree with, that make it difficult. Even as believers, you know, we can disagree. We can have disputes or challenges. Now, persecution isn't around every corner because guess what? We're in a fallen world. And just because we're going through difficulty doesn't mean that everything around every corner is seeking to persecute you, right? We're not also victims where we're like, man, everywhere at every turn, someone is out to get me. We do have an enemy, but we're also just in a fallen world, aren't we? We're also in a fallen world. One, there's brokenness. There is an enemy. There is difficulty. But how we navigate, we're called to have honorable lives in the midst of those things to represent Jesus. We don't always do that perfectly. We fall in that. We make mistakes in that. It's difficult in those things. It also says in 1 Peter, if you're being persecuted because your own terrible choices, that's not what I'm talking about. That's what Peter says. Some of us have really poor choices and we have consequences from those choices. And then we can't go and go, you know, these people are just out to get me. Some of us make poor choices at times and there's consequences for poor choices, isn't there? That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about persecution or difficulty. Sometimes we have consequences from our choices. But as we do this and as we look to be true disciples within God's designed church to stand on God's truths, we will face some opposition. As we go down into the next category, it also mentions trials of various kinds. I remember when I first came to know Jesus, I was like sold out, right? I'd lived so long in deception and in addictions, and I finally understood God's grace. And so I was like, man, I want to apply every truth. I want to seek to know God. God, send me wherever, do whatever in me. I was on fire for Jesus, right? And I used to look at scripture, and I used to look at my life. And when I only thought persecution or trial was in the form of physical persecution, I used to go, man, if every Christian's gonna be persecuted and I'm not like being hunted or thrown in jails or like, am I really a believer? And I would let the enemy twist that out of context. We should be armed and ready as believers to have persecution in the form of physical or challenges in those ways. But 1 Peter also mentions various trials, difficulties. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 4. It says, dear brothers, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his sufferings, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So he says, don't be surprised at the fiery or various trials that you are going through. as if something strange were happening to you. The way I kind of formulate this in my own mind is it's like if I ever was on a battlefield and I got my lazy boy sofa and I popped it out on the battlefield and I'm like, what is going on? Why is there bullets? Like being surprised that I'm in a battle and on my lazy boy, like, why is that happening? He's saying, man, don't be surprised when you have these various trials. But notice how he says various trials, but then he links it to you're actually partnering in Christ's suffering. So some of our suffering or various trials should be with the armed and ready idea that we'll face persecution in the form of physical persecution, but it also can be in various trials and difficulties. Because it says in Corinthians that we're to capture rebellious thoughts and weigh them to Christ, that we don't fight with human weapons, but with godly weapons, that we destroy obstacles and ideas in the human minds. So one of the forms of various trials or persecution can come in the form of our thoughts within our minds. Things like, man, where is God in this situation? Things like, man, this is difficult. And so here's what this means, that you did something wrong or you did these different things. Where's your faith? Where's your hope? Real Christians shouldn't have doubt. All these different pieces within our various trials can be persecution from the enemy. Can also mean when we go through hard situations, although it might not be direct persecution, we can start to doubt in where is God in the midst of it, and the enemy wants to work there to come against us. Now, the enemy isn't around every corner. He's not God. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know our thoughts. He's not in all places, but he is an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And when we have various trials or difficulties as believers, the enemy wants to attack us there. I want to ask you this question, whether you're online or with us here today. Man, have you felt over the last couple years like, man, these have been some various difficult trials in my life? You ever feel it? Man, it's like, it's been hard. And yet I can go, man, I can be like surprised that life can be hard. I can buy into the lie that as a believer, I should just have strong faith all the time, which means, you know, it should be good. Right? A real believer doesn't struggle like this in these situations. Paul, who went through a lot of challenging situations, talk about various trials. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was chased, he was betrayed, he was persecuted, all these things, right? And he writes some things about being overwhelmed. And as we read this, I want to ask you, in this season, have you felt some of what Paul is saying through these various trials or maybe actual persecution? But listen to what he says here. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the troubles we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." I want to ask you this again. Have you felt crushed? Maybe you're in here today and you're like, man, I've been crushed some points in the last couple years in my life. I have felt crushed. I have felt overwhelmed. I have felt all these things. And I often go, man, I just got to be stronger. A real Christian shouldn't feel this crushed. A real Christian shouldn't battle or suffer in these ways or have difficulties or doubts. But he goes, man, no, that's not true. In fact, this led me to a place where I surrendered and trusted in God's strength, no longer my own. Trusted that he would rescue me in the midst of these situations. And as we go through these various trials, here's four or five things that my brain usually goes to in the midst of whatever various trial it is, or persecution, or things that are happening, or difficulties. Here's some of the wrestling thoughts that I see that really the enemy has worked for a while. One, God, you don't love me for me to be in this situation. You ever think that? How can you love me if this is what's happening? The enemy wants to use that thought. Two, another one, I must have done something wrong for this to have happened. You ever think that? God, what did I do wrong? I must have missed it. Why is this happening? Have I done something wrong? Three, God, you must have just left me. I must have just lost my faith somewhere along the way. Or like I'm just left in this moment and in this difficulty. Why are these people persecuting me? Or why are they saying these things? Or why is it so hard to believe? Or what have you left us here? It's a tale as old as time, the enemy attacking the goodness of God. Four, God must not be in control for these situations to be playing out in these ways. Man, I want to tell you this. This is nothing new. We're not the only ones who have wrestled with some of these things. In Romans, when they were facing persecution and trials and difficulties, Paul had to write this in Romans 8. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Listen to this. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have troubles or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Listen, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. It's nothing new. The enemy's just been beating that drum. Man, God must not love you. Man, God must have just left you. Man, God must just not be in control. Man, you're being persecuted. You did something wrong then. You know, to really love someone means you'll just get along with everyone and everything will be all good. You don't need to say, like, the enemy's been doing this from day one. And Paul goes, no. We have victory in Christ for all who are in him, for all who believe in him, for all who will stand on the rock of his truth and not deviate. And when it gets hard, when there's persecution, when there's trials, when there's difficulty, there's nothing that can separate us from God's love. It goes on to say that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love for all who are in Christ Jesus. And everyone said amen. See, the temptation is when we face persecution, we go, God, why is this hard? Whether that's physical persecution from people opposing the truth, will we stand on the truth? Sometimes it might not feel like it's worth it when it's hard. Sometimes it might not feel like you see God in it, but God says, it's worth it. I'm there. I love you. I promise you. Will you believe it? And if I'm being honest, guys, sometimes I don't. I don't know about you. Looking at my life, you know, when I got to know Jesus and came out of drugs and stuff, I've had mental battles for a long season, trying to get better within them and dealing with it. And God, the enemy trying to attack that area to go, man, you're doing the right stuff and it's still hard. Maybe God's let all those things we've talked about, right? Or when you're doing the right thing and someone persecutes you and you're just trying to do the right thing, it can be hard. But the reality is we have so much to fix our eyes on. We have hope in Jesus, which leads me to my last point. See, in the midst of persecution and suffering and difficulty, we don't have to stay there even in the midst of all those things. We can fix our eyes on who Jesus is. This is written by Paul, Philippians 4:8, and it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Man, I've been on the other side of the conversation where I'm like sharing struggles and someone says, you just need to fix your eyes on the positive. And I'm just like, be quiet, right? I know that, right? They're just trying to help. I've probably even done that at times. Sometimes it's just like, it's really hard to do that. That's true. It is. But the reality of it is true. In Christ, there is reason for us to find that we can always rejoice because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Even when it seems hopeless here, this is not forever. Even when we face persecution, we know who wins. Even when there's difficulty, we know that in Christ, he's coming back for us. You see, Paul really didn't just say this stuff. Have you ever been with someone who just says a bunch of stuff, but then doesn't actually apply it or believe it themselves, and you can tell? Listen to Paul's reaction here. He was thrown in prison. This is Acts 16:25. It says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. This guy's in prison. He had been stoned half to death in a lot of other situations, and he's sitting there in prison singing to God. Why? Because his eyes were on Jesus. His thoughts were on Jesus. His realities were on Jesus. Will we stand on the truth and do the same? 2 Timothy 2:3 says this. It says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Sometimes I forget I'm a soldier for Christ. It goes on to say that soldiers don't get caught up in civilian affairs. Back to my analogy, they wouldn't be on a battlefield and go, hey guys, it's break time, yelling across the battlefield, hey, it's lunch. You guys wanna go get McDonald's and then we'll continue after, right? Sometimes it's hard, we're in a battle. But what will we choose to focus on? What will we choose to see? What will we choose to set our eyes on? Because even in the midst of all these things, there is hope in Jesus's name, amen? Let's review here, and then the ushers are gonna get ready to hand out as we prepare for communion. We went through a lot today. For believers, we will face persecution. We're called to live honorable lives in the midst of that and to have a heart that wants to save our persecutors. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials that we will go through. God is in control. We are called to stand on the truth and contend for it. And then lastly, we're gonna focus. What we focus on, what we set our minds on, we can have hope in the situations. As the ushers come forward and pass this out, I wanna ask you these closing questions, but don't let them passing stuff out distract you from these questions. One, what are you hearing today? What are you hearing today? What is God calling you to? Two, will we live honorable lives in the face of opposition? Three, do you need to cry out to God and trust in his abilities? Have you felt crushed? Maybe you even came into this room today feeling crushed or brokenhearted from situations in your life. Cry out to God and trust that he will sustain you, that he will carry you. Four, what is your focus on today? As we get ready to do communion, what will we choose to focus on? Will we see the good things that God is doing around us, or we choose to keep our eyes on the brokenness around us? And lastly, if you are in here or you're watching us online, if you don't know who Jesus is, I know we talked about persecution and suffering, and if it's your first time, I'm sorry, guys. But I want to say this in the midst of this. Man, there is so much hope for you in Jesus. There is so much hope for you. There's a God who loves you, who's given his life for you, who wants to be with you and change your eternities. And if you need to have a discussion about that, come talk to us. If you need to comment in the comments and you want to have a talk with one of us pastors, leave one of those comments. Don't wait. If God is tugging on your heart, have a discussion with us. For us, communion is for believers, and it's about fixing your eyes and your thoughts on what Jesus has done for you. About for those who are in him, remembering that God has washed us clean, that in the midst of our various trials, there is hope in him. And so whatever you need to do, if there's a decision you need to make, if there's a prayer you need to pray to the Father, we're gonna spend some just quietness in our own hearts preparing for communion. Let's do that now.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.